Five things to know this morning. 1. The peace between the United States and Iran is coming apart. Iran fired on tankers in the Strait of Hormuz. The US called it a clear violation of June's memorandum, revoked Iran's oil license, and launched what it called a series of powerful strikes on Iranian military sites. Iran's foreign minister says talks will not commence if threats continue. 2. At the NATO summit in Ankara, a multi-billion dollar wave of arms deals and a fight over President Trump signalling he'll sell F-35 fighter jets to Turkey despite a congressional ban. Israel's Netanyahu came out against it. 3. Iran's funeral for the Supreme Leader crosses into Iraq today, bound for burial in Mashhad tomorrow, while the son named to succeed him still has not appeared. 4. Ukraine. After another barrage on Kyiv, President Zelensky arrives in Ankara asking Trump for interceptors in a meeting later today. Fastest. And at home, a lawsuit alleges the administration handed Iran's government the case files of Iranians seeking asylum from it. The agency says that's false. I'm Pip. Today is Wednesday, July 8th, 2026. 5 sections. The Strait, the Summit, the Funeral, Ukraine and the Home Front. Here we go. Iran. The ceasefire that ended June's war is under its hardest test yet. On Tuesday, Iran's Revolutionary Guard fired on commercial ships in the Strait of Hormuz. The confirmed hits, the Al Rekayat, a Qatari-operated gas tanker, set on fire in its engine room off the coast of Oman, no casualties, and the Wedian, a Saudi-flagged oil tanker. A third vessel was struck by a drone, according to UK maritime authorities. Washington called it a clear violation of the ceasefire, a breach of the mid-June Islamabad Memorandum, the deal that ended the war and was supposed to keep the strait open. The response came fast and on two tracks. 1. The Treasury revoked the license that had let Iran legally sell its oil. 2. Central Command said it began launching a series of powerful strikes against Iran, hitting air defence, coastal surveillance, missile and drone sites. Explosions were reported on Keshem Island and at Sirik in the south. Iran's state media reports several people injured by shrapnel near a pier at Sirik. No deaths have been confirmed, and Western outlets have not independently verified the toll. That number may change. And oil moved. Brent crude jumped about 5.5% to roughly $76.
Here is the anatomy of it, because the sequence matters. Iran attacks the shipping, the United States revokes the oil license and strikes military targets. Iran's foreign minister, Arachi, says negotiations will not commence if threats continue. That is a fragile ceasefire behaving exactly as fragile ceasefires do. A provocation, a proportionate answer, and both sides reaching for the off-ramp while pretending they won't. The talks were paused for the funeral and set to resume around the 11th, with Islamabad the likely venue. That round is now in jeopardy. But notice Arachi's condition. If threats continue, that is not a door slammed, it's a door held on a chain. This is the second time this cycle has turned. The US struck Iran in late June after another tanker attack, and Iran hit back through the Gulf. The memorandum is faltering. It has not been declared dead, and the distance between those two things is the whole story this morning.
I want to be clear-eyed about who did what here, because the moral weight is not evenly distributed. A state fired missiles and a drone at civilian ships, at the crews of a gas tanker and an oil tanker, people doing a job who had nothing to do with any of this. That is the same regime we talked about yesterday, the one that murders its own women over a headscarf, that hangs its protesters. Firing on innocent crews in a shipping lane is of a piece with that, a government that treats human beings as leverage. I'm not going to dress that up as strategy. And, both things again, I don't celebrate American bombs falling on Iran either, because I know who actually lives under them. Not the guard commanders who ordered the tanker attacks, the ordinary Iranians who never got a vote on any of it, and who are once more caught between a theocracy that endangers them and a superpower that answers in fire. The crew survived, this time. The thing I'm watching is whether anyone in charge, in Tehran or Washington, actually wants the off-ramp stack described, or just wants to look like they're reaching for it.
And follow the money, because the market already voted. The second Iran hit those tankers and the Treasury pulled the oil license, Brent crude jumped 5.5%. That's not a rounding error. That's the world repricing the risk that the strait closes. Here's the receipt underneath it. The entire memorandum was built on one trade. Iran gets to sell its oil again, the world gets the strait kept open. Iran shot at the ships, the US yanked the oil. Both halves of the bargain came apart in a single afternoon. And the tell for whether this holds isn't a statement, it's the tanker tracking. If the insurers pull out of Hormuz and the ships start rerouting, the faltering, not dead framing gets a lot harder to hold by the weekend.
The watch. The Iranian casualty count from the strikes and whether Tehran's decisive response is rhetoric or action. Whether the July 11th talks survive and the tankers, insurance, rerouting and whether the strait stays open in practice, whatever the memorandum says. Ankara. NATO's summit opened with a spending spree and a family argument. On day one, Secretary General Rutte rolled out what he's calling Drone Edge, more than $40 billion on counter-drone systems over 5 years, and a pledge to train 5 times as many drone operators by the end of 2027. Plus the hardware. About 5 Northrop Grumman high-altitude drones for Denmark, Finland, Germany and Norway, up to 10 Swedish surveillance planes, and a draft deal to co-produce American ATACMS missiles in Germany. But the story out of Ankara is the argument. President Trump signalled he'll sell F-35 stealth fighters to Turkey and lift the Russia-related sanctions on Ankara, even though Turkey's exclusion from the F-35 programme is written into US law, after it bought Russian air defence back in 2019. He called Turkey much more loyal and said a sale is certainly something we will consider.
We have a better relationship with Turkey, and Turkey's been in many ways much more loyal than other countries that we think would be loyal.
And Israel came out swinging against its own ally over it, in public. Prime Minister Netanyahu went on Fox and said plainly, "I don't think they should be given F-35s or the engines for their fighter jets. That'll upset the power balance in the Middle East." The balance, he means, that Israeli air superiority guarantees. Think about that picture. The American president at a NATO summit floating a top-tier weapons sale to Turkey, and the Israeli prime minister using American cable news to try to kill it. That's not how allies usually run a disagreement. And it's not just Netanyahu. Even Trump's own media allies called the Turkey giveaways a big mistake. When the receipts have your own side on them, it's a real fight.
It's a real fight. And Trump has a real argument, which is what makes it dangerous. Turkey has the second largest army in NATO. It controls the straits into the Black Sea, and Erdogan has spent a decade making himself impossible to ignore. Rewarding that with F-35s is a coherent, cold piece of alliance management. The problem is the law. Congress didn't just frown on Turkey getting F-35s. It wrote the exclusion into the defense bill because Turkey bought a Russian air defense system designed to hunt the exact plane it wanted to buy. A president cannot wave that away from a podium in Ankara. So this collides with Congress the moment he tries to make it real. And that collision, not the summit's communique, is the thing to watch.
And step back to what the whole summit is doing, from outside Washington.
Day two lands the declaration today. The ironclad Article 5 language, Russia named a long-term threat, and the $70 billion a year package for Ukraine. But the two meetings that matter happen this afternoon, after most of you hear this. Trump sits down with Zelensky, who wants Patriot interceptors. And then with Syria's new president, al-Sharaa,
whom Trump has been pressing to turn against Hezbollah and who has said he has no interest. So the same American president is, in one building, on one day, arming Europe against Russia, dangling jets to Turkey over Israel's objection, being asked to shield Ukraine's skies, and nudging Syria toward a new war. That is the shape of American power right now, everywhere at once and personal. We'll know by tonight which of those he actually moved.
The Watch. The final declaration on whether every ally really signs the 5% number. The Trump-Zelensky readout and whether Kyiv gets a firm answer on interceptors. And whether the F-35 signal to Turkey survives contact with Congress. The funeral. Khamenei's cortege leaves Iran today. After the farewells in Tehran and Qom, the body crosses into Iraq. A reception at Najaf International Airport, then a procession to the shrine of Imam Ali, and on to Karbala and the shrine of Imam Hussein. The Iraqi cleric Muqtada al-Sadr invited his followers to take part. Then the body flies home for burial tomorrow, July 9th, at the Imam Reza Shrine in Mashhad, Khamenei's birthplace, one of Shia Islam's holiest sites. And the absence continues to speak louder than the ceremony. Mujtaba Khamenei, the son named to succeed his father as supreme leader, has still not appeared in public. He was kept away from the funeral entirely, reportedly over fears he'd be tracked or targeted. His three other brothers appeared last week. The heir did not.
That absence is the most important thing in the whole pageant, and it's worth sitting with. A theocracy is staging the largest funeral in its history to project permanence. And the man it has chosen to embody that permanence cannot safely stand in his own father's procession. Whether it's genuine security fear or a deliberate hold, the message received across the region is the same. The succession is not settled enough to show its face. An Iran mourning in millions and steering its next supreme leader through the ceremony like contraband. Strength on the surface and a very real nervousness underneath it.
And I keep coming back to the 15 million people because they're real. Whatever the regime is doing with this, and it is absolutely staging it, the grief in those streets is not fake. People lost the only supreme leader most of them ever knew, killed by foreign bombs. You can hold that as real human loss and refuse the regime the meaning it wants to extract from it. The thing I won't do is what I did on Monday and had to take back. Treat the man in the coffin as owed some softness because the crowd is large. He built the machine that hangs protesters and fires on tankers. The mourning is the people's. The record is his.
The Watch. Whether Tuesday's strikes disrupt the cross-border procession into Iraq, a country that hosts both American troops and Iran-aligned militias, whether Mujtaba surfaces at all before the Mashhad burial, and the final crowd the regime claims. Ukraine. Kyiv arrives at the NATO summit, still counting its dead. This week's barrage, which President Zelensky put at 68 missiles and 351 drones, killed at least 22 people by Ukrainian authorities' count, 15 in the capital and 7 in the region around it. And Zelensky was blunt about why the toll was so high. He said nearly all the ballistic missiles got through because Ukraine doesn't have enough interceptors, which is exactly what he's carrying into his meeting with Trump this afternoon. A request for more American Patriot systems and the interceptor missiles that go in them.
This is the whole war in one number, and I don't want it to slide past. 68 missiles, 351 drones in a night against apartment buildings. And the reason so many got through isn't mystery or fate. It's a supply problem. There are not enough interceptors, so the ballistic missiles land and families die in the dark. So when Zelensky sits across from Trump today and asks for patriots, that is not a diplomatic nicety. That is a man asking specifically for the machines that would have stopped the missiles that killed his people on Monday. The $70 billion a year package in the declaration is a number. Interceptors over Kyiv before the next barrage is the thing.
And Bash, the grim mechanics, back you up. This is arithmetic, not sentiment. There is a direct relationship between interceptor supplied and damage Russia can inflict. Every Patriot round is one ballistic missile that doesn't reach a building. The hard part is that interceptors are scarce and slow to build, and the United States has other places it wants them, including, as of this week, the Gulf. That is the quiet collision inside today's meeting. The same American air defense stockpile that Kiev needs is the one Hormuz just started drawing down. Trump's answer to Zelensky will tell you how he's ranking two wars at once.
The watch, the Trump-Zelensky readout this afternoon, and whether we're considering it, becomes a number of patriots, and whether the summit's Ukraine package is fresh money or repackaged pledges. Back home, a striking lawsuit landed in Washington. It alleges that since 2025, the administration has been handing Iran's government the case files of Iranians seeking asylum from that same government. Identities, family ties, political opinions, the specific fears they cited, shared in monthly meetings between ICE and Iran's interest section. The suit was brought by the Public Citizen Litigation Group. ICE says the allegation is false. Two more from the desk. FISA Section 702, the Warrantless Surveillance Authority, reaches day 27 since it lapsed, though collection quietly continues under court orders approved back in March. And on trade, the U.S. Trade Office is holding forced labor tariff hearings this week, and it has decided not to renew the USMCA pact with Canada and Mexico as it currently stands.
Sit with that first one, because it is a genuinely stunning receipt if it holds up. The core claim is that people who fled Iran, who told the US government in detail, if you send me back, this regime will hurt me, here is exactly why, had those exact statements allegedly walked over to representatives of the regime they were fleeing. If that's true, it's not a paperwork error. It's handing an authoritarian government a target list of its own dissidents, written by the dissidents themselves. The suit wants the sharing stopped and an independent monitor. ICE denies it flatly. I put this one at the very top of the Watch the Discovery list, because the documents, if they exist, don't have opinions about who's telling the truth.
And I'll just name the human stakes under Heap's receipt. The entire promise of asylum is, tell us what you're running from, and we will protect you from it. If the allegation is true, the government inverted that promise, turned the confession of fear into the instrument of the harm. ICE says it didn't happen. I hope ICE is right. But this is exactly the kind of thing that only ever comes out in a lawsuit, and exactly the kind of thing that, if true, gets people killed quietly and far away. That's why the discovery matters more than the denial.
Quick watch on the rest. Whether a court freezes the asylum file sharing while the case runs, any movement on FISA now at day 27, and across the Atlantic, Britain's Labour Party opens leadership nominations tomorrow, with Andy Burnham the frontrunner to replace Keir Starmer as Prime Minister. One more on the tech beat. The European Union rolled out a plan to treat advanced AI as both a cyber weapon and a cyber shield, and there's a reported move in Washington to open a voluntary review window for the most powerful AI models. We'll confirm that one before we lean on it. Before we go, the morning's watch. Iran. The casualty count from the strikes, whether Tehran's response is words or missiles, and whether next week's talks survive the week. Hormuz. The tankers, insurance, rerouting, and whether the strait stays open in fact. Ankara. The final declaration, and the Trump-Zelensky and Trump-Syria readouts this afternoon. Mashhad. Tomorrow's burial, and whether Mujtaba is ever seen. Washington. The asylum files case, and FISA at day 27. That's the morning. Fire in the Strait, deals in Ankara, and a body bound for Mashhad. Three stories, one thread, which is that the June peace is being tested from every side at once. Hold the strategy and the human cost in the same hand. That's the job.
Package install success. I'm Pip.
Find Anna R. Dudley at annardudley.com or on the newsletter Power Moves Before Policy Does. Anna's brand is Rigor. Sources are cited. We'll see you on the next install.